The message you're about to hear was preached at Oncarrig Baptist Church, located in Limerick City, Ireland. You're welcome to visit our website at acbc.ie, where you'll find loads of information and resources. You are also welcome to visit one of our weekly meetings on Sundays or Wednesdays. We look forward to seeing you and hope you enjoy this message from the Word of God.
Says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you can be seated. A couple Wednesdays ago, when we were studying the beginning of Luke chapter 16, we saw that Jesus, he describes Christians as stewards who own nothing of their own. But everything that we have, everything that's accessible to us, our computers, cars, money, things that we have in our home, things that we consider our possessions, all of these things, even our own body and our health, is on loan from God, and we're to be good stewards of of everything that God has given us. We think we own it. Sorry, Keith, can you give me some water? So, you know, we think we own it, but the truth is when we die, we don't take any of it with us. We take none of it with us. It's all on loan while we're here on earth. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be rewarded for what we did with our new life in Christ and what God allowed us to have. And in these verses, we read in 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul, he describes the Christian life as a race. And in different places, the Bible describes crowns. The Bible describes crowns at the that we can win. And we'll be rewarded with these crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:10 it says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And the Bible says that we're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for how we used our new life and the resources that God that we have, and the resources that we have for Christ. How have we used those things? And this morning I'm going to talk about how to win an incorruptible crown. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for thank you, Lord, for the rewards that you describe in the Bible, and Lord, thank you for this incorruptible crown that you describe here, that the Apostle Paul described here. In these verses describing the Christian life as a race, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to, Lord, I'd love to see everyone have at least one incorruptible crown, and perhaps several when they get to heaven, when they enter the kingdom of God, or when they enter the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, now here in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it tells us, it says, now ye know that they which run a race run all. So everyone that's running in a race, all of them run. Somebody doesn't go into enter a race and just stand there and look around and go over to the, you know, go. My pianist is excited this morning. So the you know, somebody doesn't enter a race and get ready and then say, oh, you know, the shot goes off and everyone starts running and they run over to the, you know, to the food stand and buy a hot dog and get a drink and watch everyone else run. And then when they're finished, they, you know, just start kind of jogging along, waving to people, looking for their friends in the stand. You know, it's just ridiculous. But when you run a race, everybody runs. Everybody, you know, they're there for a purpose, they're there for a reason. And the Apostle Paul saying that we're in a race in the Christian life. We're not racing against each other. We're not trying to beat each other. But we're in a race and we ought to be running. And he says, so run that ye may obtain. Obtain what? Obtain the prize at the end. You know, we're racing against ourselves, really. And then he goes on in verse 25, he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So somebody that strives to master that race, whatever the race might be, strives to be perfect, strives to be even in the world when somebody enters a race. You know, they're eating the right foods, they're doing the right things, they're trying to master themselves, they're trying to be temperate in all things. You know, they're not, you know, you take somebody wants to win a marathon, you know, they're not out drinking every Friday night. they're not out, you know, they're not eating McDonald's, they're not eating Super Mac and getting fish and chips all the time. You know, they try to be temperate in all things. They try to eat balanced meals. They try to eat the right foods and try to get their bodies in shape the way they should be. And then he goes on, he says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. So they do it to obtain a crown that's going to wither away, something that's not going to mean anything, something they can't take with them. But we do it to obtain a incorruptible crown, something that won't fade away, something that won't rot away. And then he goes on, he says, I therefore run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's not shadow boxing. He's trying to hit something. And then verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here the Apostle Paul, he's talking about an incorruptible crown. And not only does he tell us about this incorruptible crown, but in the verses he actually tells us how we can obtain it. And first he says that it's obtained by someone who strives for the mastery and is temperate in all things in verse 25. And he also, in verse 27, he describes keeping his body under subjection at all times. And we can see that this crown, it's for those who strive for temperance and to keep their bodies in subjection. Now, the word disciple, it shares the same root word as the word discipline. And the crown is for people who are disciplined and control themselves. That's who this crown is for. We need to discipline our lives. You know, the problem that we face is that we live in a society, we live in a world of complete abandon, and not complete, but it's pretty close. We live in a day where anything and everything goes. Some are even pushing to make pedophile a sexual preference. And that's just horrific. Some want to lower the age of consent to 7 or lower. And medical professionals are allowing 5-year-olds to undergo hormone therapy to change their own sex. A 5-year-old. You might wonder, when is this going to stop? Well, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but this isn't going to stop. It's going to keep going. And it's going to keep getting worse. There's no depth. There's no end to the depth of the depravity of man. So each year goes by, we witness a moral decline of society. Music, television shows, films, the behavior of people gets darker and darker. But, you know, personally, we don't personally have to give into it. We can overcome the world in our lives. Noah did in his lifetime. He was able to rescue his immediate family. In the midst of society, we need to control ourselves and keep our bodies in subjection, refusing to give in to the flesh. If you turn to Galatians 5, verse 19. So here in Galatians 5, verse 19, the Bible gives a list of the works of the flesh. And these are the things that the, you know, if we give in to the flesh, you know, we'll end up like everyone else. But we have, you know, God gives us power over the flesh, and I'll talk about that in a second. But here in Galatians 5, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So these are the works of the flesh. These are the things that we naturally, our bodies naturally tend toward. And the first one is adultery, physical relations with someone that you're not married to. Fornication is physical relationships before marriage. Uncleanness, not cleaning, not being a clean person. Lasciviousness, being openly sexual. Idolatry, which is worshiping or venerating statues or putting anything above God. Witchcraft, Harry Potter. Hatred, having hatred toward others. Variance. Jesus said, if you hate somebody, then you've committed a murder already in your heart. Mm-hmm. Variance, which is causing discord, causing problems between people. Emulations, which is rivalry, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, false teachings in the Bible, false religious teachings. Envying others, murders, drunkenness. Revelings, indulging in things without any restraint at all, and such the like. So it names all these things, and then it says, and anything that's like that, anything that resembles that. So we can go on if we want. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, naturally, we do those things. Keith, can you get a chair in the back, please?
Well, in fact,
oh. Oh, yes.
If I sit down, he's going to have to hold.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, but those who live carnally and worldly, it's not saying that, you know, all of us, none of us, in other words, none of us can inherit the kingdom of God. We can't inherit. We have to be born again through Christ. You can't inherit the kingdom of God. But those who live carnally and worldly, they're also not going to inherit an incorruptible crown. There are churches around Limerick, churches that tell people that, you know, you live under the grace of God, you can live how you want. And when churches teach that, they're robbing people of the blessing of an incorruptible crown. God has a crown for us to win. And if we want to strive for the prize that God has for us, that the Lord has for us, we have to keep our body and our mind in subjection. In other words, we need to have a disciplined life. Discipline, being a disciple, discipline is parenting yourself. Discipline is making yourself do what you're supposed to do. I know a farmer, he's an organic farmer, and right now he literally makes no money at all. But still, even though he's not making money, he makes himself get up every morning, rain or shine, and goes out to that farm. He makes himself go to work every day doing hard labor with little or no breaks. But he's parenting himself. He's making himself do what he needs to do. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." So the ant prepares itself. The ant parents itself. It tells itself what to do. No one has to tell that ant, you need to go to work. And if we're going to be a disciple, if we're going to win an incorruptible crown, we need to make ourselves do things sometimes that we don't feel like doing. But a lot of people, they live by their feelings, they live by their emotions. They don't want to commit to things because, you know, they might not feel like it when the time comes. Well, I'm not going to tell him I'm going to be somewhere because I might not feel like going. I'm not going to tell somebody I'm going to do something because I might not feel like doing it. But we ought to decide if we're gonna have discipline in our lives, start to parent ourselves and have that discipline that God wants us to have, then we ought to decide to do things. We ought to tell people, I will be there, and then when the time comes, be there when you say. Friday, I told a friend, there was a man that I know, he's a pastor over in Dublin, near Dublin, and they were having a going away party for him. And I told my friend he was holding it, and I told him, I said, well, he asked people to let him know who was going to be there, because they were going to have lunch and things, and I told him I'd be there. I had to drive all the way to Dublin, and I've completely forgot about it. And Friday morning came, and I had plans that I'd set out to do for the day, and my wife woke up and she looked at her phone and the alarm went off, because I'd set it on my calendar, and we share the same calendar, and the alarm went off that I'd set for the calendar, and it said going away party, and I had to, and I thought to myself, wow, I do not want to drive to all the way to Dublin today. It's going to be a full day. I'm not going to be able to get the things done that I was planning on doing, and all these different things. But I told him I was going to be there, and he'd planned, he'd made the preparations, and he was planning for me to, be there. And so I got dressed as fast as I could. I got in the car and I drove over, and I drove all the way to Dublin, to Lucan. And I got to the church, and there were only a few people there, and I was really glad I went. I told him I was going to do something, and I had to fulfill. I had to fulfill that promise. You know, that was the problem with King David. I talked about a couple weeks ago when he stayed home during the time when kings go to war, and David had that momentary lack of character and lack of discipline. He neglected to parent himself. And as a result, he fell into sin, and ended up killing an innocent man, ruining his life and his family's as well. And this morning, that's not necessarily going to happen to us. But when we get out of character, when we stop disciplining ourselves, and we live by our emotions and the things that we feel like doing or don't feel like doing at the time, and just make the decision instead of living by what we say we're going to do, when we do that, then, you know, if we're following our emotions, then we're going to end up following our emotions into sin as well, just like David did. I want to give you six simple things this morning that you can do in your own life to get victory and control over the world, over society, over your flesh, so that you can win an incorruptible crown. I want to help you out. So here, number one, first you need to make sure that you're born again. John 3:6, the Bible tells us, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So the Bible tells us that God gives a born-again believer the Holy Spirit. He says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So when our flesh was born, it was flesh. But if we're going to have a spiritual birth, it has to come from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. And that's being born again. It's a spiritual birth. And God gives that born-again believer in Christ the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables us to be able to overcome the flesh that pulls and draws us into the sin. And that's what the world uses. That's what they use for advertising. That's what they use in the films. They're using sin to draw you away and to make you buy their products and do these things, but it also affects us in other ways. But we need to make sure that we're born again so that we have the Holy Spirit. Second, we need to cleanse our mind. If you turn to John 6, verse 63. So the Gospel of John 6:63. So John 6:63. Here it tells us, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes us alive, makes us born again. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. So Jesus says that the Word of God, the words that Jesus spoke, but all the Word of God is spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the Word of God. This, you have the Holy Spirit. When you're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is working. Now, for a believer, for a born-again believer, it's feeding the Holy Spirit inside of you and helping you to get stronger. For an unsaved person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, it's convicting their heart to lead them to being born again. In John, now if you turn over to John 17:17, Jesus talks about Jesus is praying about his disciples and asking God to help them, because he's about to go through the crucifixion. So John 17:17, it says, Jesus says, as he's praying for his disciples, he asks God, he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So the word of God, it has the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, and it also sanctifies us. And as we read, as we study the Word of God, it has a purifying power. It cleanses the soul and the mind. You may not always understand everything you read in the Bible, but as you're reading it, whether you understand it or not, it's doing a spiritual work. Those are spiritual words, and when you read them, they're doing a spiritual work inside of you. They have a way of sanctifying and cleansing and cleaning up your mind as you hear and as you read the Word of God. So we should make sure we're born again. We need to cleanse our mind. We also need to cleanse our heart. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sins to God, you know, we can't remember all our sins. I was talking to a girl this week, and I showed her this verse, and I was describing it, and I was telling her about it. But we can't remember all of our sins. We forget. We forget sins. There may even be sins that we didn't even know was a sin that we're doing, because we don't know the whole Bible. You don't know every word in here. You know, we study it and study it and study it, and it's so deep, and it's so, you know, I'm learning things. I've been studying the Bible since I was 19 years old, and I'm still finding new stuff in here, and I'm still relearning things as well. But you can't keep all the Bible. But God doesn't expect us to remember every single sin. But when we forget sins, sometimes we don't realize that something is a sin. But the Bible says that when we confess our sins, that we do remember that God cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness, and our relationship with him is completely restored. And then there's nothing between us and God when we confess our sins. That we remember, God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So to win an incorruptible crown, we have to make sure we're born again. We have to cleanse our mind by reading the Word of God. We need to cleanse our heart as well to keep our heart right. And number four, we ought to stay faithful to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we should find, we ought to find a good Bible preaching church and become part of that local body of believers. Immerse yourself in a local church. It's a place to fellowship with other believers. It's a place of accountability, encouragement, correction, a place to serve. You know, there's no YouTube video, there's no audio sermon that can take the place of a church and a local body of believers. You need to be around other people. You know, when you're out in the world, you know, watching a YouTube video just doesn't do it. You may feed you spiritually, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you in the way that a local church can help. Yeah. Oh, I won't. No, not tonight. Wednesday, maybe. Wednesday. Yeah. 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 Bye-bye. Yeah. Number five, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, look, or turn to Ephesians 5, verse 8. So, Ephesians 5... Ephesians 5:18. So 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And God, and the Spirit's capitalized, meaning the Holy Spirit. But here the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So we're supposed to be filled, completely filled. We're supposed to be filled. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit, to have the Spirit overflowing in us, to be completely topped up with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, I have up on the screen, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So we ought to pray for the Holy Spirit fullness in our lives. You know, ask God. Get up in the morning and say, "Lord, fill me with your Spirit today and help me, guide me, lead me in the decisions that I make." We need to yield to his leading in our lives. And that's through the Word of God, too. And he's not going to contradict the Word of God. But here you can see that God also in Ephesians 5:18, God also makes a contrast in this verse, saying that you can't drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're either filled with the Spirit of drink, you're either drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's making a contrast. We can't do both. So when we're drunk with wine, you're not filled with the Spirit. You're filled with another spirit. They call it spirits, you know, and that's right. You're filled with another spirit. But God instead wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is different. So to win an incorruptible crown, first we need to make sure we're born again. We need to cleanse our mind. We need to cleanse our heart. We need to stay faithful to church. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And number six, we need to practice controlling the flesh. And one of the ways to do that, to practice controlling the flesh, is by fasting. If you turn to Mark 9:29, and this is my last point this morning. So Mark 9:29. And here Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it says, "And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." This kind. Fasting is going without food. It's just drinking water for some specified amount of time. Might be one meal, might be one day, might be one week, it's praying instead during that time when you would normally be eating. But here the apostles found that there was a devil that was so strong that they had no power to cast him out. And Jesus told them in verse 29 that this kind of devil, this kind, is so strong that it will only respond to somebody who has been praying and fasting. Fasting brings our flesh under control, like the Apostle Paul was talking about, keeping yourself in subjection. And fasting brings your flesh under control, allows the Holy Spirit to fill us completely, and it gives us power over the devil in our lives. So that's what fasting does. So one way to get control of the flesh, to practice controlling our flesh, is by fasting. You know, maybe you can't fast a week. Maybe you can just fast a meal. You start small, fast a day, you know, after a little while, and then learn to fast maybe for a few days, or, you know, maybe a week. I probably wouldn't go a month unless you talk to your doctor or something. You need to make sure that you're monitoring yourself, or you don't have health problems. I know people that have done it, but you know, I wouldn't recommend somebody first time just say, "I'm going to go a month. I'm just going to fast for a whole month." But fasting helps to get ourselves under control. Another way is by setting a schedule and time limits and make yourself follow them. You know, set a time limit to watching TV or films. They design these television programs and the commercials and everything else to keep your attention and keep you sitting there watching it. They want to keep you watching, and there's a battle for the control of your mind. Most people just submit instead of taking control themselves. But by setting time limits and following them strictly, we are controlling our flesh. Look, I'm going to watch this television show, and it's, the television's going off for the rest of the day. Setting strict guidelines. But we ought to be in the places where we're supposed to be. And like I said, that's what got King David in trouble. Another way to control your flesh is by not denying yourself things. I knew a pastor a long time ago, and what he would do, one of the things that he would do is, just a small example, was when he would eat popcorn, instead of taking that handful of popcorn and shoving it in your face and getting popcorn all through your beard and walking around, everyone looks at you funny. Pastor Keith, you have popcorn in your beard, instead of doing that, just taking one kernel out at a time, just picking one out at a time. But what you're doing is you're controlling your flesh. That smell of that popcorn and that butter, you just want to, if no one was around, you'd probably stick your face in the bag and start eating it out like a horse. No, just Keenan would do that. I'm teasing. But he, he just copies his dad, right? but by taking it's just a small way of controlling your desires and your flesh. What you really want to do is just devour it, but you're taking your time with it. And a lot of people eat too fast and things, but it's not controlling your flesh or giving into it. So, And like the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So therefore, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And that's what you're doing to win that incorruptible crown, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So if we're going to win a corruptible crown, it's going to take discipline. It's going to take parenting yourself, making yourself do what you should do. And that's what every parent's doing. They're trying to raise their kids to parent themselves, to do what, the kids don't do things themselves. They need to be told. But as adults, we need to maybe we're not quite that way, but we ought to strive for that, especially in the Christian life, and if we're going to win the incorruptible crown. But to win that, we need to first make sure you're born again. Second, cleanse your mind, cleanse your heart through prayer, confessing your sins. Stay faithful to church, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and yield to Him, and practice controlling your flesh through fasting or just little things that you can do, keeping a schedule, making sure that when you say you're going to do something, you try to do it. Things come up, things happen. Sometimes things are unavoidable, but to try to be there and do what you say you're going to do. And as we grow in these areas, God can bless us, and He'll be able to give us that incorruptible crown, because we've learned to keep ourselves in subjection and learn to control our lives for Christ. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. And perhaps all of us lack. We all struggle with the flesh. We all lack character in one way or another.